Tampa, Florida, with the governor of Wyoming, Matt Mead. Governor Mead, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
How excited are you about this convention to be here? You were elected, what, in 2011? So this is your first time as governor in this situation.
It's my first convention as governor. I went to the convention in Minnesota, but just as a delegate, alternate delegate, actually. And so I'm very excited to be here, and I'm excited about how many Republican governors are here, and had a Republican governor event last night. It's just great, so I'm very excited.
In looking at what's happening, because now really this is the start. I mean, officially it opens recesses yesterday. Now you got Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Ann Romney speaks tonight, but also Governor Chris Christie. As somebody put to me, in the first couple of days, a political analyst was talking about this, you have a lot of people that will come out and do what maybe Governor Romney can't do for himself. In other words, be on the attack. Look, you know, really kind of scrape, play a little bit mean. When you see someone like someone who's a governor, but one of your fellow governors, Chris Christie, up there, and you know Chris Christie and you know what he's capable of, how powerful do you think his speech will be?
I think it's going to be tremendous. Chris Christie and I were U.S. attorneys together, so I've known him for a long time. And, you know, what you see in public is the same way as in private. He cuts to the chase and says, here's the issue and here's the problem and here's how to resolve it. And I think, you know, the extent anybody's sort of nodding off when Chris gets up there, I think they'll be fully awakened and energized by what he has to say. He has a good way of getting right to the point.
Yeah, jobs the number one thing. For the people in Wyoming, are they also concerned? Because you're in a little bit of a different situation. A lot of ranchers, farmers, of course, there's drought and things to deal with there with farm bills or aid and whatnot and in your particular situation. But do you hear the same thing, jobs, jobs, jobs?
Well, we do. I mean, Wyoming's in a pretty good situation. We're 5.3% unemployment. We're the largest exporter of British thermal units of energy in the country, and so we remain strong. But we're not an island. And beyond that, we want the rest of the country to do well. I mean, because we want a company in such and such state to do well, and because they may buy something from Wyoming. And so jobs and the economy, I think rightfully, are the number one issue across the country. And so it is for our citizens are rightfully concerned about that, and we fully believe that Governor Romney, when he's elected president, is going to make a change that's very positive.
From your perspective, what do you think is the toughest thing for Romney in getting elected and going up against an incumbent who has a huge likability factor?
Well, I think it's always a challenge going against an incumbent, obviously, and I think one of the things that Governor Romney and Ryan need to get across is, you know, here's where we are, and here's where we want to be, and here's how we're going to get you there. I mean, people got to listen to their message. They got to get their message out there. Not a lot of time left to do that. And I think we have to make sure people are open-minded and listen to what they have to say. And then, you know, the other thing that's a question that's often asked, are you better off than you were 3 years ago or 4 years ago? And I think that's a relevant question in this election is, are the citizens better off? But beyond that, are your communities better off? Are your states better off? Are your neighbors better off? Those are the questions that I think they can continue to ask because nobody, you know, we don't live in isolation. We want everyone in the country to do well.
What's your take on health care? We just saw, of course, this year the big Supreme Court decision and Justice Roberts and whatnot, and now, depending on what happens in the election, how much of this gets spreaded out. What do the people in Wyoming tell you about? Are they confused about coverage? Are they concerned?
It's a mess. I mean, we were one of the states that challenged the Affordable Care Act, and we thought it was a mess then, and we think it's a mess now, and it's even more of a mess in some ways now because, you know, the federal government gives us certain deadlines and certain options, and I've written a letter, and the Republican governor's written letters to Kathleen Sebelius saying, you know, what is the plan? What are the answers to these questions? We can't get answers. And I think the citizens of Wyoming, if you took a poll, the vast, vast majority were against the Affordable Care Act, and I think they're very skeptical that the plan going forward the federal government offers up is a good way for our country or our state to go.
Yeah. in your position, and now as you are more than getting your feet wet because you elected, as we said, in 2011, so now you have, what, a year and a half of road beneath you, so to speak. What were the biggest surprises or challenges to you coming into the office as the first timer?
Well, you know, I would just tell you, and I had a list of here's what I want to get accomplished, but we feel frustrated and delayed because you get going in your state and then something comes from the federal government that you have to fight that off. And so I think that in this sort of, in a state like Wyoming, it's, you know, 50% surface is owned by the federal government. That is a daily challenge for us on how do you work through those issues. And so that is, you know, and plus I come from the private sector and I've been in politics before. You know, just the speed of government, federal, state, local, it seems like a snail's pace to what I want to get done.
As a former attorney and attorney general, right?
U.S. attorney, rather.
As a former U.S. attorney, looking at guns and where we are in this country with guns, we just saw another shooting, sadly, at a Maryland high school. You know, on my show, there's a big push, and of course, I'm a defender of the Second Amendment, but I'm constantly having to fend off the attackers who say, well, you grew up in New Jersey, I can't believe that you're about owning guns. But I think that's too simplistic of a view. From a Wyoming point of view, I guess, and as the governor of Wyoming, what do you hear from your constituents about concerns over gun control versus gun rights and all that in between?
We're a gun rights state, and I'm a gun rights governor. I mean, we grew up with guns. My parents hunted the game, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. I mean, and that is an important part of our heritage and history in Wyoming. And, you know, it's like, you know, you've got to, obviously, you want responsible use. I mean, you know, cars can cause tremendous damage as well. Our hearts go out to anybody, any victim of any shooting. I mean, that's a terrible, terrible thing. But I think it's just a little too simplistic to say that guns are the cause of that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's an accurate answer.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that, of course, all the governors get together. And there's a couple times a year, don't you, that you meet at least once in Washington,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we have a National Governors Association, which is the Republicans and Democrats, and we meet twice a year, and the Republican governors get together more often, not as an entire group, but at least a couple times a year, almost all of the Republican governors, depending upon, you know, what's going on in their states, get together. And it is a great opportunity for all of us, I think, to learn from one another, to see what the challenges are, and then collectively, how can we address it? We just last week rolled out an energy policy that I was the chair of the committee on, and that's something Republican governors can get done. They can affect change.
Yeah. As you say, rolling out the policy and talking about energy and whatnot, do you think that do you think ultimately into the future we got to look to alternatives but responsibly? In other words, not just throw everything to the wind when it comes to oil and gas and coal?
Yeah, I mean, we're for an all-of-the-above approach, but we're not for all-of-the-above and then have sort of it's manipulated by, you know, hey, we want this one. You know, the marketplace needs to decide that. In Wyoming, for example, we have wind energy, but we're also number one coal, you know, number three in natural gas, number eight in oil. We need all of the above because that is such a big factor in how this country is doing, because it affects the cost of everything, transportation, food costs, manufacturing. And so we want all of the above, meaning all of the above and not the government picking winners and losers.
Yeah. Governor Meade, thanks so much, and have fun at the convention.
I will. Thank you.
Enjoyed meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with Micro Plant Powder. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 27, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,669.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,710.85, $855.42 for a half ounce, or $427.71 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,710.85, $855.42, and $427.71.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best kept health secret ever. See for yourself at camelmilkforsale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to camelmilkforsale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's camelmilkforsale.com.
And Tommy, we can count. This is a scary story I happen to come across. Yosemite National Park, I have some friends that are going there in a couple of days. Oh, yeah, because Labor Day is coming up. Check this out. Park officials sent letters and even emails to 1,700 visitors who stayed in some of the cabins and some of the places there in June, July, and August, warning them that they might have been exposed to the disease that also caused 2 people to fall ill. Wow, a public health crisis because 2 people died from a rodent-borne disease following a simple overnight stay. I know a few people that have stayed in the so-called signature tent cabins at Curry Village, and this is where they found the problem. The illness is spread by contact with rodent feces. Boy, that's scary. Urine, saliva, that kind of stuff, or just even inhaling exposed airborne particles. How sad is that? You think of people who are trying to see the majesty of Yosemite National Park, certainly not thinking that they're going to come across this. Centers for Disease Control found out over the weekend that a second visitor, that's when they determined this, from Pennsylvania, by the way, had died from the disease that I just mentioned. You know, Yosemite gets about 4 million, give or take, tourists a year from around the world. And those people at that park have to be concerned in trying to figure out if the warning should be expanded to include other countries, because you certainly have a lot of people coming from other countries quickly here, since it is about the numbers. The disease can incubate, they say, for 6 weeks before you get this flu-like kind of symptom. It's fatal in 30% of all cases. That's a high number. And there is no specific treatment. It's not spread human to human. So that's the thing. We're back to people aren't sure. They don't really realize if they have this or not. So I think it'd be wise for them to send it out to other countries. But this is the thing. They don't want to create a panic, and here you are, Labor Day. Lots of people, including a few people I know, are headed to Yosemite, and this is what they're greeted with. On a happier note, a flight attendant, how about this, gets in the Guinness World Record books. How? 63 years. A 63-year flight attendant. Ron Akana, who's 83, worked his last route over the weekend on a United flight from Denver to Kauai. Great way to end that, huh? And that is his home state. That's where it all began. It wasn't his final stop, though, then. His destination was retirement. Check this out. In Boulder, Colorado. And he initially had started out in Hawaii, lived in Hawaii, and decided how much he loved Boulder because he had grandchildren there. So first couple days of retirement, he spent writing a lot of notes to people who were wishing him well. He was very, very popular. It's crazy to think of that. Think of 63 years. I think that's a record that he will hold for a very long time. He actually joined the airline when he was a student at the University of Hawaii. In 1949, he saw an ad in a newspaper, and he said he didn't even know what they called then a flight steward, but he decided, hey, this is the way I can go to the mainland, and it was a big deal to be able to fly to California and fly to other parts of the United States. So that's how he actually decided that he was going to go into the business of being a flight attendant. I love that story. How about this? This is also an uplifting story. Very sad what happened, but the fact that so many people have come forward. Did you know that survivors and families of the victims of the Aurora, Colorado crazy movie massacre are demanding that the more than $5 million raised in donations go directly to them and not to nonprofit groups? Here's what's happened. Some of the money that's been raised, it's called the Aurora Victim Relief Fund, I think we've talked about it on the air, has been dished out to families of the 12 people killed and the 58 who were also injured, some of them terribly, in the July 20th shooting. But some of the people have come forward, and they have claims that the money wasn't going to the people that it was promised to. Boy, don't you hate that. So it's great that this money was raised, but wouldn't it be great if it definitely went to the place where it was earmarked for? And if you think $5 million, the first payout went to nonprofit groups. In fact, one of the families, they were told that no family would go directly to victims. That's not what they were originally told, and I think that's why so many people jumped in and tried to help the families, because they read some of the horrific stories about what had happened to some of the victims. You know, the woman who had her young child in the theater and was pregnant, lost her baby she was carrying, lost her daughter, and I think now is paralyzed at this point. And putting the human face on it is what I believe led to so many donations. I have to believe that all of you listening, any of you who might have donated, expected that 100% of the money would go to the families of the victims, not for some administrative nonsense. So let's hope that they actually straighten that out. No amount of money is going to make those people feel good, but it's going to help with some of the medical expenses for so many. This is a scary thought. We think of all the problems we've been talking about with the mail and whether or not we're going to have Saturday delivery in the future because of the fear of bankruptcy and whatnot. But how about this strange personal story? There was a mail carrier out of Newark, New Jersey, who used her daily route to move cocaine shipments in packages that were falsely addressed right there on behalf of drug trafficking organizations that were in Puerto Rico. The U.S. Attorney's Office in New Jersey caught her. Christina Nunez, her name is. She was getting packages of cocaine from Puerto Rico, passing them to a co-conspirator in Camden, New Jersey, of all places. And she was moving a ton of the stuff. She did get released on $100,000 bail. Not a surprise, because you got to think about who the people are in her life. She's got that electronic monitoring thing going on. But I think the story here is the fact that she was assigned to a post office in Secaucus. She moved 18 kilograms of coke from October 2010 until she was arrested on August 24th. 30-year-old. She's charged with conspiracy with intent to distribute coke and mail theft. A spokesperson for the U.S. Postal Service, not a surprise, said her employment status following her arrest, not immediately known. She had a co-partner in this, I guess, or a co-conspirator. Her boyfriend was helping her move whatever he could move along the way, too, as well. Wow, that what a crazy story that is when you think about it. The risk that she was willing to take until they finally, she popped up on the radar from Puerto Rico because somebody there screwed up, and ultimately that ended up costing her, and who knows how much jail time she'll end up doing. If you've been watching any of the convention, people are complaining about the mistakes at the convention. People, it's live. It's live, and that's what happens. So, you know, NBC is the butt of so many jokes, whether you tune in the Today Show, which I did, or you're going with the late night people, or you're going with the Daily Show. Jon Stewart has a way about really ripping somebody when things are falling apart. So here NBC is covering the convention wall to wall, sort of. And what's happening, unfortunately, is the fact that they're having some problems along the way where they'll have fallout here and there, dropouts of mics and that kind of stuff. And it's just complete fodder for the shows, along with, of course, the Tonight Show laying off 24 workers. There's a big number. And the host, Jay Leno, deciding that he was going to take a pay cut. That also became a part of the discussion. So NBC is, you know, falling off the map. They used to be the 500-pound behemoth, I guess. And boy, how things have changed. When you get to your campaign coverage and you have clipped mics and things dropping out here and there, you know, before that would be like a mortal sin. Everything had to be perfect. You think of the people that were behind the anchor desk, and boy, would they never, ever, ever allow that. All right, we've got one more for you. How about this? On Monday morning at a meeting of about 100 Texas delegates and alternates at the Saddlebrook Resort, that's in Tampa, 20 miles away from the convention center, one topic got the crowd pretty fired up more than any other. The delegates started to talk about a letter condemning some of the changes to the National Republican Party's rules that infuriated some of the Texas folks. They actually showed up, and talking to them today, they showed up in cowboy hats and were not thrilled with what the RNC is now calling things that cannot happen on the floor. And one of the things is something to do with some of those grassroots movements. They feel like they're being infringed upon is how they're putting it. And it's the Ron Paul factor that has really ticked off a lot of people, and some of the Texans were responsible for that. So I think that's the main thing. Woohoo!
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Alli-C or Alli-Ban from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
America, land of the free. But how free can you be, really, when internet viruses and malware can attack your computer? Sure, you have antivirus protection, but it's not free, is it? Until now. Now, Zone Alarm offers free antivirus protection. And independent studies show that Zone Alarm provides better malware protection than even Norton and McAfee. And they're not free, are they? Declare your freedom and go to GetBetterForFree.com. That's GetBetterForFree.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Alex Jones here with a great way to beat the blackouts, get off the grid, and generate your own supply of electrical power. Folks, with what's been going on in this country, I don't have to tell you about the power grid and just how vulnerable it is. That's in the mainstream news every day. Millions of people have lost their power in the last few weeks because of dangerous storms and killer heat that's pushing the grid beyond its capacity. I've always said that every family needs to be ready for blackouts. And if you don't have a backup system in place, I've got a great opportunity for you. Right now, our good friends at Solutions from Science are offering huge savings on their best-selling Power Hub unit. In fact, I think it's the best deal I've ever seen them make. It's literally thousands of dollars in savings. Remember, these backup systems don't need gas because they're solar-powered. That means there's no dangerous fumes and no noise. InfoWars listeners can get all the details at beattheblackouts.com. That's beattheblackouts.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You never know who you're going to meet. The brain trust is here, Bill Musser. I'm calling him a Republican strategist because he's had so many jobs.
I have.
And I mean that in a positive way. You are, I think you're helping to shape a little policy here and there. And is that fair to say?
I've got a couple, I've worn a lot of hats in my life. You know, my grandfather worked in one place for 45 years in his career. And I think I probably had 25 jobs in my 20 years in politics, if not more. But the last couple of years, I've been real focused on working with Republican governors around the country. And
yeah.
So I was fortunate to run the Republican Governors Association for Governor Romney when he was the chairman in 06 and 05. And I specialize in really trying to help elect Republican governors around the country and help on third-party groups that are trying to promote freedom and liberty around our nation.
I understand that that he likes to bend your ears, that he likes you. Is that fair to say that you get to toss it around a little bit with the governor?
I hope so. I hope so. I hope I'm on the friends list. He's a good man, and so it's a privilege to serve him, and he's going to be a great president.
What do you think it is that people don't know about Mitt Romney? We keep seeing in the polls how he's getting clobbered by President Obama and the likability factor.
Right. Well, that's probably because President Obama's campaign has spent hundreds of million dollars trying to convince Americans in swing states that he's an out-of-touch plutocrat, which is completely the opposite of the Mitt Romney that I know. You know, behind closed doors, he's got a terrific sense of humor, really warm and engaging guy. In terms of the kind of the moral fabric of the human being, he's just an intrinsically good human being. He's the kind of guy that, you know, if you have a problem in the middle of the night and you call up and ask for help, he's going to stop his car and help you, or he's going to come over and do you a favor. And so I think that's really what we're going to start to see here tonight. Mrs. Romney, I think, will give a speech that will give a good glimpse into the soul and the character of her husband. I think we might even get a glimpse of Mitt tonight. And I think that'll be the first step in trying to do what I think is a really key strategic goal for this convention, which is filling in some of those gaps that you just identified that, you know, I think allow Mitt to connect people to connect with Governor Romney in a way that they haven't had the chance to by getting a better measure of the man's history as a father, as a civic leader, as a faith leader, and as a government leader.
Yeah, I wondered why we had heard about that, because I know people that knew Governor Romney back when he was a bishop in the church and how much he reached out to a lot of people, not just people, by the way, of Mormon faith, other people who needed help. He was glad to help them, from what I understand. So you think we'll see more of that come out?
You know, I do. I think it's interesting, though, because it's almost against his own inner nature to kind of brag about some of the good deeds that he's done. But if you look back over his career, well before he was in public service, I think I first met Governor Romney in 1997 or 1998 when he was working at Bain Capital in Massachusetts, and I was working for then-Governor Paul Cellucci in Boston. And the things that he was, you know, he would do behind closed doors without asking for credit is really, you know, that story's not been told. And I think to some degree, because of the Romney's humility, they've resisted telling that. And I think hopefully others will tell some of the story here for them. And I hope Governor Romney will open up about some of those issues himself, because, you know, his life is one that I think anyone could look at and say, wow, that's a life that I would like to emulate.
Having worked with the governors, what was the idea, is to get everybody kind of on the same page? Here's, you know, we're fighting for liberty. I hope you're doing that in your state, that kind of thing. I mean, what, as you round up lots of different personalities, it's kind of like the NFL with all the different owners.
Right.
Everybody has a different personality and a different problem.
Everybody gets a personality tonight, Jersey style.
Exactly. You got to wrangle them in. So what did you find seemed to be the uniting thing with all the governors?
Well, the governors are uniformly jazzed about Mitt's nomination. And I think the roof is going to come off the place tonight. There's a lot of pent-up energy here. But look, governors are significant in several ways, right? I mean, they are the chief cheerleaders in their states for both their policies, but they also control the political apparatus in states. And one of the things that your viewers or your listeners need to know is this election is shaping up to be a real squeaker. If you look at any measure of the polling, I do not believe it's going to be a blowout election one way or the other, unless there is a decisive break in public opinion, as there was, for example, in 1980 around one of the debates. But my hunch is that this is going to be a very close election. And so governors matter because they're both able to carry and drive a message in their home states in ways that other elected officials are not. But they also are in charge of the political apparatus in their states. And having a good team, 29 Republican governors out of our 50 states, is a strategic and tactical advantage that the Romney campaign is focused on deploying effectively between now and the election.
How important is Chris Christie's message tonight, the governor of New Jersey, who is not shy about unloading his feelings?
He's not shy about unloading his feelings. He's a great guy. I've had a privilege to help him in his campaign. I know him well. I think he's going to light it up tonight in a way that's going to be memorable and helpful to the cause. And, you know, he brings a certain panache and style. He's really one of the most gifted speakers that we have in the Republican Party. I would put Rubio and Christie and Mike Pence and a few others in kind of really the top tier in terms of communications ability. And so I think he's going to give a great speech. I know he's going to take it squarely to President Obama and articulate the path that we're on, and then lay out the alternative vision and probably have a little bit of, as we say, Jersey style in there too.
Do you think Christie will ever run for president? Because, you know, he had a lot of people try to talk him into that last time around.
After 8 years of the Romney administration, I think there's a deep bench of talent that could look at it in 2020. And Chris is a young guy. Governor Christie is a young guy. He's got a lot of great skills. He's built a really big national fan base. He's the vice chairman of the Republican Governors Association. He'll probably continue to play a leadership role in that group. And so I think we'll hear more from Chris Christie. But he's one of many that really are rising superstars in our party. It's interesting because our bench is very, very deep. We've got a lot of really good talent.
How do you think, and this will be something that will happen Thursday when Mitt Romney gives his speech, how does he already, we talked about the softening the other sides of Mitt Romney that you know that people don't know, that don't know him, that kind of thing, and Ann Romney will help, let's say, do that. But how does he also get around the Democratic attacks, all the negative ads that he is rarefied air? He knows nothing about what the middle class is going through, and attacks on Bain. How do you present that to the American people, the average person, to realize that he's not out of touch with their needs.
Well, I think the convention will play an important role in that, and that's an important strategic imperative for the next couple of days. And then I think we, once we cross that bridge, really this becomes a question about the future direction of the country and whether Americans are satisfied that the country's going in the right direction or we think people are on the wrong track. And if you look at the polling information, this is going to be an economy-driven election, and so the challenge for the campaign is to articulate a positive, proactive, simple, understandable vision for what America would look like in 4 years under a Romney administration versus four more years of Barack Obama's generally failed agenda. A lot of people voted for Barack Obama in 2008, and so the mission is not so much to do what they're doing to us, which is to try and demonize and tear down Romney, because I don't think that's an effective strategy for us. If we play small ball and get into a spitball contest with the Obama campaign, this may be a tough election for us. If we're able to articulate a clear, positive, compelling vision that's simple, that's developed, you know, that's delivered through a series of debates, I think debates are going to be very important for your listening audience. I think Americans owe it to themselves to tune into both the presidential debates and the vice presidential debate. But if we're talking about policy and direction of the country and the economy, we're going to win this election. If we're distracted on chasing down rabbit holes around, you know, Bain Capital and tax returns and, you know, generally nonsensical stuff that doesn't matter to the bottom line, I think we'll probably lose. But you know, that's what we have to do, and that's where we're going to be focused.
Yeah, you know, talking about that rabbit holes. Every once in a while, we'll get a caller that'll say that. Well, then why don't you just show the tax returns? And Romney himself has said, why are we, would we waste time on that? If you go back, you can see my history when I was governor, and that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, you can go, you can do that. He's given 2 years of tax returns. I mean, the guy's been enormously generous in his philanthropic efforts. He's paid his taxes. It's really a non-issue. I mean, I think what you'll hear from the governor is a real pledge to say, look, measure me by results, and here are the kind of results I'll deliver for the country. And I'm not going to give you a warm, fuzzy talk, because we've tried that. I will give you concrete measurement tools by which to evaluate the success of my presidency. And in doing so, I think people understand that. If you can make a baseline pocketbook connection about how you're going to make someone's life better in a concrete way, then we're going to do just fine, because these are tangential issues.
Looking at the electoral, and you know because you've gotten people elected, looking at an electoral map, where do you think are the key things that have to happen for Romney to swing in his direction? I mean, the Ohio's, the Florida's, the...
Yeah, well, we got to win here.
Yeah.
Tampa's a key piece of this puzzle. We're sitting here in what's called the I-4 corridor. We're at one end of it. There are swing counties like Pinellas and Hillsborough and Lake County just to our south, and some of the coastline here. You have to do very well in this state. For people who don't know Florida well, is essentially 10 media markets. There are lots of different pieces. There's a mixed kind of diversity from an ethnic perspective. There's Cubans, there are Puerto Ricans, there's affluent white, there's middle class white, there's kind of Bubba vote up in the panhandle. So appealing and doing well in Florida is a mission critical objective. I think the campaign and all of us who are supporting the campaign feel good about the fact that, for example, you know, the polls are really closed up in Wisconsin. So you bring Wisconsin back into the mix. And that's a significant get in terms of electoral college votes, and I think that's probably some credit due to Paul Ryan and the pick on that. But obviously, Ohio and Florida are critical to what we call the 3-2-1 strategy. Mm-hmm. So for your audience, I'll explain briefly what that is. But for the campaign to win, the best path for Romney to be elected is to win back the three states that we lost in 2008, which is North Carolina, Indiana and Virginia. So win those three states back today. We'll probably win North Carolina. We're going to win in Indiana, and Virginia is a jump ball. The two are Ohio and Florida. We win Ohio and Florida. Then we need to win one of only a handful of about 16 other states that are swing states, ranging from Pennsylvania to New Hampshire to New Mexico, in order to win the presidency and go over 270. So that's our best path to victory. But in truth, this is going to be very, very close. And, I'm not sure exactly what the electoral map is going to look like. But right where we are right now, this is a very, very winnable election.
Phil, the man. Thanks so much. I enjoyed meeting you.
All
hope
right.
We have more conversations in the future. Thanks.
All right,
I appreciate
great.
It.
Nice to see you.
Thanks.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Of course, we'll get to the mailbag in just a second. But here's an update on Hurricane Isaac. The hurricane actually spun into what we call the southern Louisiana coastline late on Tuesday. It sent massive floodwaters surging, and it really unleashed some wild winds, 80-mile-an-hour up to 90-mile-an-hour winds. Wow, that's crazy. So a lot of people chose to stay, and they were hunkered down, I'm sure, behind boarded-up windows. New Orleans calmly waited out another storm. This is the seventh anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, and they're hoping that these incredibly strengthened levees now will hold up $10 billion worth of levees. Isaac's storm spans, I'm told, about 200 miles from its center, all told. It made landfall close to 7 o'clock near the mouth of the Mississippi River, but it was really zeroing in on New Orleans. And that's the key thing. So a lot of people stayed put, other than the people that were evacuated in low-lying areas of Louisiana and Mississippi, and they ordered the closure, as you know, of the state's 12 shorefront casinos. We were there. We broadcast from there in Biloxi and whatnot. and there's no way with where that water is. So by late Tuesday, more than 100,000 homes, businesses had lost power. Boy, this is sadly a familiar theme, and it does harken back to Katrina, although nothing like the devastation of Katrina, at least not we've seen so far. Thank goodness for that. Keep your fingers crossed. All right, without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Our first victim, snail mail-wise anyway, this one from Mimi listening to us in Vermont, says, hello, Kate Delaney. I've been listening to you on and off. I say on and off because it depends on my shift for a very long time. We love you here on WVMT. Oh, thank you for that. My big question is, do you think poll-wise that Romney and Ryan will get a boost in the poll numbers from what's happening at the convention? It seems that people always talk about that. Well, Mimi, I got to say, I'm not going out on a limb by telling you, of course, they're going to get some kind of a boost. How much, though, is the question? And how much do the polls in the next 70 days, because we're 69 days, actually, out of the election, and it's about electoral votes. So how much sway will the polls actually have? What are we going to see in these polls, I guess, is the key thing. All right, let's take this one from Eric. Eric says, yo, America tonight. I got a question for you. I thought I heard you talking about football, but I missed it. You're fond of saying that I might have had one eye open. I think that's what you say to listeners anyway. What's the deal with Nail the Score? When does it start up? Eric, I always say that. I say, some of you might have one eye open, but you can call the show any time, no matter what your stripes are. Something like that. I've got a new twist on that version of what I was saying about calling the show. Because some of you are lying awake and listening. All right, the key thing here is Nail the Score Tuesday, this next Tuesday, coming up off of Labor Day in our third hour. It's really technically Wednesday morning. Our first Nail the Score. The reason why is because the Dallas Cowboys play on Wednesday night against the New York Giants. If that's the kickoff to the season, I feel like we need to do our first one out of the gate then. It only makes sense to me. So that's why I decided to move it. But normally it'll be on Wednesdays. There's too many Thursday games. It used to always be on Thursday. So not to confuse anyone, I hope we have that straight. Wednesdays normally, this next week, Tuesday, Tuesday, Tuesday. Here's one from Tank. You gotta love that name. Tank says, Kate, I don't know if you saw this or not, but they're talking about these gun ID bills and what it might do to gun manufacturers like Remington. See, it has definitely begun. Subtly, perhaps, but it has begun. What's your take? Well, I, like you, saw the same thing. You have Remington especially, but Colt, I think, is thrown in there, too. They could decide, especially, I mean, this is the thing, it's the ballistic imprinting, to backpedal here for a second, as it was explained to me. It's the process that uses the laser to engrave a tiny marking of the make, the model, and the serial number on the tip of a gun's firing pin. It also allows an imprint of that information on cartridge cases. You know, you see, like, in some of these CSIs or whatever, and they pick up the cartridge and they're looking at it. Of course, that's what it is. So what a game changer this would be. The technology would be a game changer that would allow people to quickly identify the registered guns used in crimes. But here's the thing. Opponents say the process is costly. It is unreliable, and may ultimately impact local economies that depend on the gun industry, like where Remington maintains a factory, like Hartford, Connecticut, where Colt's manufacturing headquarters is right now. If you're talking about mandatory micro stamping, you would probably have a loss of what they're saying is 50 jobs. And that's the New York State Senator, one of them anyway, James Seward, who's saying that Remington employs 1,100 workers in that town. And you're talking about a company that has options in other states. So why would they be in a state that's not, you know, that's pretty hostile as far as legal gun manufacturing? So there could be massive negative reaction to this micro stamping. And that really could be a game changer. Some of this is as a result of the mass shootings that we've seen, the Aurora, Colorado nut, the Sheikh Temple thing in Wisconsin, now what just happened a week and a half ago in front of the Empire State Building. So they're warning, Remington is warning the New York governor, from what I understand, if I'm right about this, that forced micro-stamping, while it looks good on TV, because, you know, that's futuristic, could really prompt this company to reconsider whether or not they're going to hang in New York or just go someplace else, because why do they want to spend that kind of money? And, of course, other states would be friendly to it and would definitely welcome in those jobs, you know, without question that would happen. All right, this one comes to us from Big Don, listening to us in Texas. Katie, 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 you're a Texas girl. I love listening to your show, honey. I like that, okay. And he says, not to be confused with Dan, by the way, in Texas. And he says, did you see this thing about Texas voting maps and this discrimination thing that they're throwing about? I think what you're talking about, and this has happened in other places, but a court in Washington, which was actually ruling on this, said that the maps don't comply with Federal Voting Rights, the Act, because state prosecutors didn't prove that Texas lawmakers didn't draw the new congressional and state Senate districts without discriminatory purposes. And I think that's pretty much, Don, what you're referring to. It applies specifically to maps drawn by the legislature in 2011 and not the interim ones, I guess, that were done by San Antonio Federal Court. This is a big deal because this goes to districts, this goes to the whole voting thing, and what does it mean? It means that the Voting Rights Act, beyond the limits intended by Congress and beyond the boundaries imposed by the Constitution, it extends it pretty much is what we're seeing. So the Texas Attorney General, Greg Abbott, rather, immediately said he was going to appeal the U.S. Supreme Court. If you remember, he said they were going to try to do whatever they could to see something changed there instead of, they're not going to accept that. Of course, everything's appealed, so that's not a surprise. I don't know how far they'll get in that appeal. You know, that'll be ultimately the curious thing. And I mentioned this already, we have 69 days before the election, if you think about it. So nothing's going to change. Certainly nothing is going to change there. It's not going to happen. All right, in the meantime, here's this last one. This comes to us from Mika. And Mika says, hello, old friend. I just wanted you to know that I have been paying attention to the price of gasoline. Have you been paying attention? Somehow, somewhere, used to be the show that always checked in on gas. I haven't heard you say much about it. It's really shot up. In fact, in the Gulf region, and perhaps I was there on business, the reason why is because of Isaac, but we're talking 30 cents a gallon. 30 cents a gallon, that's ridiculous. What do you think the high water mark is? Oh, without a doubt, the high water mark for most people, the threshold, is somewhere around $4. Whenever, anytime with this show, we've gotten up to $4, everybody runs for the hills. Nobody wants to pay $4 for a gallon, four or more for a gallon of gasoline. So that, to me, is always the threshold number. Remember, I don't care what you want to gripe about. If you want to vent, one of the best ways to get a hold of us is to simply let it fly by sending us an email to americatonight.net.
George Washington said, government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.